welcome to the Trev and Ben podcast, episode 50. Ben,
we made it.
Yeah, it's exciting, isn't it? It's almost a year.
Well, nearly there.
I mean, you said we should celebrate the year more than 50, but the 50 is a nice number.
So do we just sort of ignore the year mark now?
Well, we can do that next week, or because I think next week will be the year,
right?
Or okay. Maybe that's the year. I don't know, it's coming up. I'll check when we did the first one. I can't remember, but it's episode 50. Woohoo! I wish I had a little party popper or something, but I haven't got one.
You haven't got any sound effects or anything?
I haven't got anything. No, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about anything. I've only just remembered it was episode 50, just as I sat up to record, and I was just checking the numbers. Even though last week I banged on about it for quite some time.
Yes, you did.
But a lot happens in a week between recordings, and I barely remember what we ever talk about the week before.
No, I do sometimes worry, are we just endlessly repeating ourselves?
Probably.
But there you go.
We might as well have just done one episode and just say, listen to that every week, because we say the same stuff. So how's your week been?
Ups and downs. You?
Ups and downs. Yeah, ups and downs. Ups and downs.
Okay.
There was a big protest against the lockdown, wasn't there, in London?
Yeah, that sort of passed me by a little bit.
Did it? Oh, it was a big old hoo-ha.
Ooh.
Pro lockdown. Yeah, a big old hoo. I like the word hoo-ha. It's not used enough. It sounds a bit like Wuhan.
The hoo-ha of Wuhan.
There was a big hoo-ha in Wuhan.
So did it all get broken up, didn't it?
I think it was a little bit of fisticuffs as well between factions.
Ooh.
David Icke was there, of course.
Ah, it wouldn't be a disaster without David Icke.
He told people, if you want to believe in freedom, take your bloody masks off. Oh yeah, spread it round. Well done.
Nice.
Well done, Dave. Fucking lunatic. So I don't know if we're going to be locked down. We're not locked down yet in London.
Well, the pubs are now closed from 10 p.m.
Yeah, which is great because everyone then leaves at the same time.
Yeah.
And rams onto tubes and buses and trains. So that's helping.
So just guarantee all the drunkest people are out at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
That's
a
fantastic idea.
So I don't know. I've decided, because I've been asked to sort of go out to places over the next few weeks. I've got a few things that were starting to come into the diary as we thought we were getting back to normal. And I've sort of had to say to these people, well, we might not get to do these things now. Should we just not plan anything? It's not worth it, is it?
Yeah, the sort of annual planners that people buy are slightly redundant at the moment, I fear, for their industry.
Yeah, I mean, 2020 didn't need a diary, did it?
No.
Let's be honest. Not even worth printing one for 2021.
No, I wouldn't bother.
Don't bother buying them at Christmas as nice little presents. It's just book cancelled, cancelled, holiday cancelled. All the way through it.
Oh.
So yeah, that's exciting. I had something freak me out this week.
Freak you out?
Freak me out yesterday in the house.
Ooh, what happened?
Well, yesterday, we were recording this on Monday. So yesterday was Sunday. And I don't know about you, Ben, but I love a Sunday afternoon little nap.
No, I'm not really one for taking naps.
You know, I normally have a little kip on the sofa on a Sunday afternoon. Right?
Okay.
I don't often plan it. It just happens.
You're getting to that age now.
Yeah, I'm at that age where I'll sit down on the sofa, put something on the telly, and I'll just doze off for half an hour or so. But yesterday, I was knackered. I don't know why. I just come over and absolutely knackered. And I thought, I'll just go and lay on the bed just for half hour, have a little kip. And I slept far longer than I intended.
Right.
And I woke up and the house was dark. It had gone to evening. So that's how long I slept.
That's quite a long time then.
It is a long time. So I'm a bit dozy. I woke up and I'm walking across the top landing and it's pitch black in the house. And okay. I suddenly heard downstairs a sort of scraping, scratching noise.
Oh, fucking hell. Was it a mouse?
Followed by a high-pitched screaming sound.
Oh, my God, that's not a mouse.
And I was thinking, what the fuck is this? And I must admit, I was starting to think, I don't want to go downstairs. Because it was definitely in the house. I was trying to convince myself, it must be a noise outside.
And we all know it's not Mr. Tortoise anymore, God rest his soul.
It's not Mr. Tortoise anymore. So I ventured one or two steps down the stairs. I'd put the landing light on by now, just in case it would frighten off any sort of spirit that might be in the house.
Well, they do say if it's a burglar, you're not supposed to go running downstairs to beat the shit out of them because they're likely to be violent. They
just do make a lot of noise, isn't it?
Exactly. Turn the lights on, stay upstairs, clump around, let them know you're in the house and getting up, and they'll likely run out. I'm not sure that same principle applies to the afterlife.
So now, creeping down the stairs, and there it is again, scratching, scraping, high-pitched screaming.
Screaming?
It was like a screaming sound.
My God.
So anyway, I peered over the banisters and there I could see just in the, because I'd put the downstairs landing on from upstairs at this point, and the light leading in towards the kitchen, I could see. What was your first instinct on the noise?
Well, I know you've had a mouse issue. Mm,
yeah. And it was a mouse that had been caught by the mouse trap. But only by its leg.
Oh, no!
And it was dragging the trap along behind it. Fucking screaming. Hell. I mean, it was like, it was a horrible noise. It was screaming, this mouse. I mean, can you imagine that? I can hear a mouse screaming upstairs.
That's insane. How big was this trap you bought? For it to be making a scraping noise, it was dragged along the floor.
Well, I'd bought these new traps. I'd bought these extra sensitive traps, right?
Sounds like, so, you bought industrial strength gallows.
Well, what they were, they're like, they're not like your traditional looking mouse trap. These are things that you open a big sort of mouth. You kind of clip this mouth open, and within the mouth is a little thing where you put the bait, right? And then the mouth snaps shut. And the idea is that it kills the mouse, snap shut, and then all you have to do is unclip it and tip the dead mouse out. That's the idea.
I don't really understand how it kills the mouse.
Well, it's so still...
It goes inside this hole.
Yeah, it still crushes his neck, essentially.
Oh.
Right. So, anyway, it just caught its leg. Man. And this mouse was going fucking loopy, mate. It was going absolutely nuts.
As terrified as I would have been walking
down, I was glad it was
stairs.
A mouse, yeah.
No. I was going to say the opposite. Oh. As terrifying as I would have been going down the stairs, I would have found the prospect of having to deal with this not yet dead mouse more horrifying than the potential of a spirit in the house.
This was the thing. So it's like, what do I do? Because this thing is, it's screaming. I mean, like I say, it was a horrible noise. I mean, I don't want mice in the house, but I don't want to see an animal suffering in any way.
Oh,
so it was it was a horrible noise, right? And I could see it desperately trying to escape. I'm thinking, God, is it going to chew its own leg off? You know, I've got to deal with this thing quickly. Because a couple of weeks ago, the mouse trap had been triggered during the night. When I came down in the morning, it was a bit of the way up the hallway from where I'd set it. So I'm thinking this had happened once before and the mouse had managed to get out somehow.
Right.
So this one had obviously been a fairly, fairly fresh catch. So I was thinking, God, what do I do?
Poor little mouse.
Because I can't kill it. I can't bring myself to kill it. I can't do that.
Right.
Because how would you do it? What's the most humane way of doing it?
You know what my first thought was?
Drown it.
No. I'm not going to sit. By the way, before anyone complains, this isn't what the idea I'd have settled on. It's just the first idea that came into my head.
All right, go on.
I would have seen sense and not done this. But my first thought would have been throw a tea towel over it and twat it with a frying pan.
Well, that would have been the way to do it.
It would have been quick.
Because I think that there was a generation of people who grew up thinking if you had a mouse that was in a trap that wasn't completely dead. And we're talking the old-fashioned trap that snaps down on its neck, so there's no way of it surviving, then you just drop it in a bucket of water.
Oh.
But I've read lots of things that say, don't do that. Don't drown it. That's cruel. The best way to do it is to whack it over the head, basically. Put it out of its misery quickly.
Right. And you can't really let it go back out into the, chuck it out the front door with a broken leg, because then it's just cat fodder, and that's got to be even worse for it.
Well, I had to decide what to do, and I had to look at this thing and try and work out how injured it was. and I'm thinking it's got enough strength to be pulling the trap along behind it.
Right? Okay.
So I don't know how, like this leg, it's, I don't know if this leg's broken. It would seem like it's more just trapped than broken.
Right.
So
you're not a vet, are you?
I'm not a vet, but I've been watching All Creatures Great and Small, the telly. I mean, he's normally got his hand up a cow's ass, but I kind of, you know, take a lot of information from that.
Very similar animals, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I put a finger up his ass. Yeah. And, so now I thought, I can't pick up the trap just as it is with my bare hands, because he will attack me. Or she.
Definitely.
Like, yeah. This mouse will turn around and just start biting me.
And may I say, rightly so.
What do you mean, rightly so? I mean, let's face it, it has invaded my house.
He doesn't really see it that way.
Well, I had to decide what to do, right? So I've got, like, a litter picker thing. You know those litter picker things? With a little grabber on the end?
Yes, when you used to be bad... Yeah, when you were naughty at school, you'd be given litter picking duty, and you'd be given one of those extendable claw things to go and pick up all the shit, yeah?
Yeah. We had to do that in the first 3 years at school. That wasn't a punishment. It was just part of a duty. You had to do it once a week, I think it was.
Oh, no. For my school, it was definitely a punishment.
Oh, no. I mean, I think after that, it was a punishment. But no, once, it might have only been once a month, but we had to do it one. It was a lunchtime duty, and you had to do it.
I mean, that's quite a good idea, actually, because that's a deterrent for nobody to drop rubbish, so that then nobody has to pick anything up.
Of course, it didn't work, because everyone still dropped rubbish. There was still litter to pick up. But there we go. So anyway, I pick up the trap with the litter picker, and I take it out to the garden.
Right.
Place it down on the floor, at which point it tries to do a runner, dragging this trap behind it. So it's now scraping up the garden path. You know, God. Like, if I can't... It's not going to be able to hide anywhere. So now it really would be cat or fox fodder now.
Yes.
So I go back, pick it up again with the litter picker. The mouse is going absolutely fucking, it's going ballistic at this point.
Well, like, I'm not surprised you've outfitted him with a caravan.
The screaming is unbearable almost. And I start to worry. I sort of lose perspective of what's going on. Because I start to worry what the neighbours might think if they can hear me clattering about in the garden and a screaming noise.
And what time was this?
It wasn't that late. It was only about 7:30, 7:45.
Okay.
So it's still kind of early enough for people to have windows open, maybe. I don't know. So now I brought it back up to the top of the garden where I can put the outside light on. And I then got the litter pickers and... untrapped him.
Now that must have been quite fiddly.
It worked better than I thought. I was able to open it, just put the litter picker across the kind of bit where you scrunch it back to open it, and he ran away like his life literally depended on it. So I don't know how injured he was. He ran away at speed, so he got away. He was released, but I did. I thought of you as he ran away.
I know where this is going.
I thought of your incident with the fly.
Yeah.
And I was just, I didn't say it out loud, but I was thinking it. Just tell your friends.
So, like you said, my week's had its ups and downs as well as yours.
Yeah. Any mice to contend with?
No, not quite as traumatic as yours. I basically made a bit of an error, a faux pas, while I was out and about at work.
Oh, not again. Ben, you're always fucking up. Wait, who are you upsetting this time? What were you doing? Actually... hurtling over someone's fence again?
Not a fence. Right, so...
Not a fence, okay. A wall.
Basically, I have the same route every day, so you're in autopilot when you're doing it.
Yeah.
And you commonly will cut across small sections of grass and whatnot. And
well, you've been told off for that before.
It's almost like I haven't learned my lesson. So I was in a daydream, shoved some posts through a door, and it's a tiny little patch of grass. Probably you're on it for two steps and you're off it.
Right.
I've done it every single day without complaint for the last year. I've had no runnings in with these people before. It's all been fine. But I had my headphones on the other day, listening to a podcast, and just in autopilot, took my usual first step onto this grass. And underfoot, I felt, ah, this is wrong.
What have you done?
I shouldn't be on here. This feels definitely like freshly laid turf.
Oh, Ben.
Turf that has not been down for many hours at all.
Oh, God.
And then, as I say, it's only two steps to get off the thing, and I'm already now essentially in the middle of it. And I twigged immediately. I wish I hadn't done that.
Yeah, I
just was in autopilot. I didn't look down. I didn't notice. So what would you do? Would you take a step backwards or just carry on?
Oh, well, I don't know. I mean, at this point, the damage is done.
Yep.
So probably just carry on.
It's exactly what I did. Carried on. Felt a bit bad. I sort of glanced over my shoulder. There were quite visible footprints. But I would suggest the footprints were only visible because the grass had been flattened by the boots. I hadn't destroyed anything.
Okay.
It was still pretty much okay. But it was still a no-no. And I was half expecting someone to come running out the house. But thankfully, this time, nobody did. However, the next day, I came back, I approached the same house, walked past it. There's a big note on the front door.
Yeah.
And it's a very polite note. Dear postman.
Yeah.
Please do not walk on the grass. Thank you.
Well, that's all right.
I thought that's absolutely fine.
It's a very polite note. It could have been far worse.
It's very large, this note. It's there for the world to see, so it's not only getting its point across, it's doing it politely, and it's also shaming me all in one go. It's a very good note.
What I would have liked is if they'd managed to get a photo of you doing it and attach that onto the note. That would have been even better.
I did wonder, how did they know it was me? Was I spotted at the time?
They might have like a Ring doorbell.
No, they don't.
They don't?
Believe me, I checked.
CCTV?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, regardless of if they were guessing or not, they are correct. It was me.
Maybe they just thought, look, they've seen you. As you say, you've been their postman for a year. Even if you're out of work most days, with lockdown and everything, they would recognise a postman. I recognise my postman. If they'd see your big lumbering foot, they'd see the massive, huge footprint. I mean, I'm not having a go because you and I have the same shoe size, 14, right?
Well, actually, I'm a 13. You slightly outdo me.
Okay. So we talk, but it's a big old foot, you know, like it's, you know, like Neil Armstrong's footprint on the moon. Imagine that on the grass. They've looked at it and go, well, there's not many people with a foot like that. Old Bigfoot the postman when he comes around. So that's about how I imagine they've deduced who the culprit is.
So I felt a bit bad, but I thought, you know, that's fair enough. They've made their point. But now, the third day I walked past,
I've got a shotgun out the window.
I'm going to take a picture and send it to you now on WhatsApp. And I thought maybe you could do the reveal as to what this is.
Okay. So So what they've done is they've staggered their approach and their response.
Yeah. So this day two after the offence on day one was the sign. And on day three, have you got it in front of you?
I've just opened it up. Oh, I like this. They've taped it off.
It's like a police cordon.
It's like crime scene. It's like they don't trust you to read the sign. And it's quite posh. I mean, there's no reason. Can I just say there's no reason to be stepping across the distance you have to walk to the end of their path to go next door is minuscule.
Listen, if you had to walk in and out with no cutting across, you'd be adding on miles to your day. You're visiting like 600 houses.
I mean, this is what's wrong with postmen. No respect for property. It's all about yourself, isn't it?
So it does look like a crime has taken place.
They've certainly, I mean, it's a lovely little front garden they've got,
isn't it? You can understand why I felt bad.
Yeah, I love the fact that the note wasn't enough. I wonder what has led them. You kind of got to think that somebody else has done the same.
Yeah, maybe
following the note to you.
Possibly.
You might not be the only person to blame here. I'm just seeing whether I can still see your footprint. Yeah. And I think I can. Can you see it? I'm looking at the photo right now.
I'm just going to zoom in. Yeah, I think you can
see it. That's your footprint just in front of the flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see this huge dent in the beautifully laid turf.
The problem I have is with this sort of mini police cordon they've put up around their garden is the fact that if I wasn't concentrating again, it's about shin height.
Yeah.
I could easily trip up over this thing, and then they could have my full 6'4" frame indented in their lawn forever.
Well, I think it's a bit of a lesson on concentration, isn't it? And also, it's not exactly anchored down, this cord, and it's being held in place by what looks like some sort of bottle of fluid.
Yeah, they've looped it around the handles of a couple of bottles so like they can keep it nice and
car
tight.
Oil bottle or something like that. So if you were to walk into that, it would topple over before you toppled over yourself, I think.
Well, now here's my question to you. I get that they've reacted very politely. I think actually they've overreacted and made their garden look a bit ugly now with this. What was a very pretty garden?
Well, I mean, the cordon's not going to be in place forever, is it? It's just while the grass settles and while, let's face it, hooligans like you are about.
But, I mean, the note for me was enough. The note from day two, that I would have respected it and never done it again, obviously. Yeah. And I wouldn't have done it the first time if I just had my wits about me.
Yeah.
But have they overreacted a bit with the cordon?
No, I don't think so. Because, no? as I say, I think there's a chance here that somebody else has done it. So the note might not have been enough to deter all trespassers. So they've had to go that one step further. I would say it's a fair move.
It's a fair cop.
It's their land. They're protecting it with all their might. Why not? Now, Ben, we've had someone send us a message. Because a few weeks ago we were talking about conspiracy theories.
Yes.
And the message said, seeing as you boys like talking about conspiracy theories, what do you make of the QAnon conspiracy theory?
Now, personally, this wasn't one I had heard much about, so I did some looking into it. Have you heard much about it?
I had not heard of it at all until this tweet came in.
So, basically, the gist of it is that the reason Donald Trump in America doesn't appear to be doing very well is because
he's
all
a lunatic.
No, there's a justifiable reason for it. The real reason he appears to be doing so badly is because behind the scenes, he's fighting a much more worthy battle.
Okay.
And this battle, which apparently the public can know nothing about, so all of his attention is going on this, is against satanic democratic paedophiles.
What?
Yes, apparently there is a secret network of satanic democratic paedophiles. Apparently they have their own secret tunneling system. They're all over the world. There's a tunneling system under the Vatican. They raise children for their blood and all sorts of other disgusting wrongdoings. And it's this reason that the public aren't supposed to be aware of that means Donald Trump, and he's doing a great job, by the way, behind the scenes, right, is fighting this cause. That's why, publicly, he doesn't appear to be doing so well.
Now, the thing is, that would make a great film plot. But secondly, how long's this group supposed to have been in existence?
Well, I'm assuming since Trump was elected, because I don't remember Barack Obama being too distracted by this sort of thing.
Well, this is my question. So is this group only a problem when there's a Republican president? I don't understand why. You know, this is just one of it's just absolute bullshit. I'm not going to piss about absolute nonsense. It's a little bit like the whole, like David Icke again. He seems to be getting more mentions than necessary this week, but there was this thing that he once said about a very similar thing here, that there was the MP paedophile ring. I think he said it was headed up by former Prime Minister Ted Heath, and they would sacrifice children on his boat and all that kind of stuff. And there was a massive inquiry. And I think it suggested that Ted Heath may have not been 100% innocent and pure of certain misdemeanors and atrocities against children, but I don't think it was anything on that level.
No, and to me the sort of strange thing is that I heard this mentioned on LBC, which for any American listeners who want to know, that's a very well-respected radio station for news and content like that. And one of the presenters was basically saying that the reason he's talking about it isn't because it's something he believes in or supports. It's because the amount of people that do believe this conspiracy theory to be true is what makes it newsworthy. And he thinks it's absolute rubbish. But of course, the moment he said that on air, he gets bombarded with messages saying, well, if you don't think it's real, if you think it's a conspiracy, then you're clearly part of the problem. You're clearly involved in it.
Yeah.
Just madness. But the thing I found so stupid was the fact that this whole conspiracy theory has all been designed to basically say, well, Donald Trump, yeah, he isn't the best in the public eye, but, you know, it's for a good reason. But even a conspiracy theory designed to defend him has to firstly admit, yeah, he's shit.
Well, that's it. Yeah, you have to accept that you're doing a terrible job, because that's the whole basis of the conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I'm just looking it up now. I'm just reading up while you're talking as well. And it seems to have started from one man putting something up online calling himself Q. It does also seem to be full of lots of anti-Semitism, all kinds of other things as well, white supremacism, all that sort of stuff. It also says that we're in the moment of the calm before the storm, and Donald Trump's going to have this this moment where he will arrest everyone involved, all sort of journalists and Democrats, and send them all to prison. And it will be like the Great Awakening, I think they're calling it.
The Great Awakening.
The Great Awakening, yeah. Which is, it sounds like one of those things, like basically if you're using this as a conspiracy to hold up a Trump Republican administration, then this plays right into the hands of the right wing, because you can then basically arrest anyone who doesn't agree with you and say, well, you're part of the QAnon group, aren't you? You're part of that group, and have them locked up. So you can basically get rid of, which again is what everything Trump wants, you get rid of a free press, because you say, well, you're all that fake news is to cover up what's going on, so I'll arrest you, I'll lock you up.
You know, can you do that?
Well, this is how dictatorships run. And the thing about Trump is, did you hear him say recently that he might not willingly give up the White House if he was to lose the election?
I haven't heard that. So tell me about that in a second. But I did want to know if you've heard about this. I was getting either in or out of the car, and I just flicked on the news, and I thought I'd heard something saying there was talk of Donald Trump wanting to run for a third term, which I thought was fundamentally not allowed.
Yeah, it's against the American Constitution right now. But again, like, if you look at dictatorships, Putin managed to do it in Russia. He was only supposed to be president for a set number of terms. He's changed that so he can almost continue forevermore, I think.
Has Trump done this? Has he said he wants a third term?
Well, he's jokingly said on more than one occasion he'd like to, I think there's a great phrase that he used once, you know, why not 3-4 terms? Why not 6-7-8? You know, he sort of jokes about it. But it's one of those things, you hope that the American Constitution, the American people are strong enough to, you know, to stop that happening. But never rule it out. You know, you might think that a country that is the most democratic cannot be corrupted in that way.
So you can't confirm that you've heard it played as a serious possibility. It's just something he's saying about at the moment, talking about at the moment.
Yeah, yeah. But I wouldn't put it past him trying, you know, and then the fact that he's sort of joked about it. I saw something recently that was talking about the sorts of things that he says a lot in a sort of jokey way. It's one of those sort of propaganda techniques where you just keep saying it enough as a joke to almost just put the idea out there, to sort of fuel a fire of people who believe in you, and then put the idea out to those that won't believe in you that, you know, you never know. Yeah, he's a frighteningly dangerous man. And this is the thing. I'm so hoping that he loses the election. But the fact that he said, because he's sort of, you know, he's going on all this about the postal votes and how they might be fraudulent and all of that, that he might not easily give up the White House. And Biden has said something like, well, I think we we're strong enough in this country to escort anyone out of the White House if needed. And
wow.
you could sort of see this happening. The army being, this is how civil wars start. You know, the army being instructed by a president-elect to go and remove from office the president. The question then is, which side would the army take? Would they go against the new president-elect and stand by the president in the White House if they're Trump supporters? And then you've got the start of something pretty horrific happening.
And what would happen to... Because, I mean, as you say, I imagine that current president has to take the top spot because he is the current president. The guy who is president-elect, although will be president technically, isn't yet. What happens to the military if they refuse an order from the president?
Yeah. Well, I suppose that, I don't know. I mean, this is all me supposing, and I wouldn't necessarily come to me for American political history and legality. But what I would think would happen is that come whatever the date is where a president is sworn in, which is something like the end of January, isn't it, normally? The election in November, and the swearing in mid-January, something like that.
Yeah.
At that point, Biden would become president, and... at that point, he would have the authority, he'd become commander-in-chief. So Trump might stay in the White House, but the moment Biden becomes president and is sworn in, if he's democratically elected, the swearing-in process presumably would happen come what may. Then there's the question of who would the military support in that moment.
Well, it would have to be the new president, wouldn't it?
You would hope so. You would hope so. But if Trump has... got enough people in the military at the moment that would want to stand by him, you've suddenly got the starts of potentially the sort of civil war scenario.
No, but that's not how the military works. You don't take orders from your favourite person. You take orders from the top brass, don't you?
That's not... You know, when you get countries where a military coup takes place, where the military turns against the leader and their general, they ride into the parliamentary building and seize it. It's happened. It happens, you know.
So that would also essentially give the Americans two armies, a Biden army and a Trump army.
Basically, yeah. And then you've got the start of a civil war.
I worry now that we're starting to sound a bit like the conspiracists.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, you hope that whatever happens, it's just peaceful. But I just worry that Trump is so unhinged and so mad that he would... he's like a child. He said, no, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving the White House. Not going.
Oh.
And you could just see it. And he's got enough mental supporters that even, not enough to take on the might of the full military, but he's got enough people that would arm themselves and fight on his behalf. So even if you're not talking like a full-on civil war, you could see there being like a gunfight at the OK Corral scenario at the White House. I mean, it's terrifying. It really is. I don't know whether I worry about these things too much and overthink it, but this is what I think. This is what goes through my head, because I think he's such a fucking lunatic and so power-hungry that I could see it happening. And the fact that he said that he wouldn't necessarily... leave the White House makes me worry.
Oh, makes me shudder.
It is a frightening thing. Have you also seen the latest on his tax affairs?
I was reading this just before we started recording. Is it something like for the last couple of years, in total tax, he's paid $750?
Well, he's claiming that's fake news and that his accounts are in audit at the moment and when we see them in full. I mean, every other president has always published their tax details. Trump so far has refused.
And that was only for the last 2 years, but for the previous
10 to 15, he didn't pay any tax, according to this report in the New York Times. Yeah.
And the reasoning behind it is that his businesses have actually been losing so much money over the last few years that he's only had to pay such a piddly amount.
Yeah.
So it doesn't sound like it's a tax fiddle. It just sounds like he's actually so spectacularly bad with money in his businesses that that is the pathetically sad fact. That's all he's earned. That's all he's paid.
I know. Because he's not the great businessman he tells everyone he is he?
No.
He's useless. So anyway, it's frightening times. But back to this QAnon thing. That's where we started. We kind of got
sidetracked a bit,
there.
Yeah.
I just never know in America what is really going on. There's a great documentary on Netflix. I think it's called The House, right?
Okay.
And this is quite a scary thing. So it was set up back in the 50s or 60s, run by a very conservative Christian group. And it was kind of a place for young men that would go there, potentially to get into politics or whatever. And it was led by this one man who had managed to find himself hugely influential in not just American politics, but politics around the world. And he's pictured with, I think, every president. He died a couple of years ago, so not Trump, possibly not Obama either, but every president I think he's pictured with since about Nixon.
Right.
And if you want to look into the conspiracy theory side of it, is that basically he, this one man and then this group, have ultimately run things, certainly when it's come to contentious issues that go against their Christian beliefs. And they have sort of made sure that that things have gone their way. And they've always said, we don't get involved. They've always said, we don't get involved. We're just there to advise, to pray with governors and leaders of countries. Because as I say, they kind of get involved in other politics and regions as well. And you think, but I watched this program thinking, God, that's quite frightening. This one man who appears in all these pictures at all these huge conferences and meetings with presidents and world leaders, just lurking in the background.
That is a bit weird.
Yeah. I don't think the QAnon thing's in that sort of category. The one thing I'm just reading here, because I'm only sort of just skipping through a few bits here, is that, as you were saying, it was mentioned on the British radio station, it does seem to be growing in people talking about it, at least.
Well, and also, the reason you and I don't know anything about it is because we've never sort of looked into it or anything like that, but the way the Facebook algorithm seems to work, if you see one piece of news about QAnon on Facebook and then you click on it, then Facebook will think, oh, they're interested in this sort of thing, so we'll give them a bit more QAnon. And more of these things will start popping up, so they're more visible. And then you just become slowly inundated with news and news and news about QAnon, QAnon, QAnon. Right. And a bit like your idea with Donald Trump continually dropping little hints now and again about things and joking about them, the more you talk about something, the more you say something out loud, the more some people will start to believe it's true.
Yeah. Just reading this, QAnon supporters claim they're asked to cover up their Q identifiers and other QAnon-related symbols at a Trump campaign in New Hampshire last year.
Ooh.
I mean, there's no, it might just be if you're wearing a t-shirt with, mind you, if it's a Trump rally, you can normally wear what you want. So this is how you start thinking, isn't it? Start thinking, well, maybe there's something to it. I will just finally say that I'm just reading this sentence. This is just the opening line from the Wikipedia entry about QAnon.
Okay.
Okay, so it says, QAnon is a far-right conspiracy theory alleging that a cabal of Satan-worshipping paedophiles running a global child sex trafficking ring is plotting against President Donald Trump, who is battling them, leading to a day of reckoning involving the mass arrests of journalists and politicians. It finishes by saying, no part of the theory is based on fact. Oh, really?
Fake news.
So last week at the end of the podcast, when we were talking about recommendations and things to watch,
yeah,
I told you that our old mate Danny had said that I should watch this documentary on McAfee.
Yes.
And I said I wasn't even sure whether it was the antiviral software man.
Yeah.
Turns out it is.
Okay, good.
I managed to track down the documentary. It's called Gringo, The Dangerous Life of John McAfee. Right?
Okay, and where can we find it to watch it?
Well, I got it on YouTube. I had to pay for it. It was only like £3 or something. So
okay,
it was worth paying for. Because Danny had said to me, it's one of those documentaries where you just won't believe what happens next. So if you are going to watch it, you might just want to not listen to this bit until after you've watched it.
Well, does that mean you're about to spoil it for me, who hasn't yet seen it?
Well, I've got to talk to someone about it, mate. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Danny was absolutely right.
So, fair enough, I'll take the bullet. Go on.
I mean, the guy is slightly I want to be very careful because he's still alive, and you know, I don't want to be sued by the man. But
okay, so tread lightly. Yeah, and remember what our consultants would tell us.
So basically, he did. He set up the antiviral stuff, and he kind of became part of the establishment in the States. He became sort of a security, you know, cyber security expert. He was on TV chat shows and all that sort of stuff. Okay, and he became a multimillionaire creating all of that.
Okay.
And then he relocated to Belize. Okay. Mm-hmm. And his life just kind of went a bit off the rails there. It's like he went a little bit mad.
Okay.
Because he set up this thing for, I don't quite know what he was trying to do. He sort of set up a laboratory and had this lady who was kind of doing all experiments, and I'm not quite sure, I can't quite remember what she was there to do, but she was trying to make, I don't know what she was doing, but trying to make some drugs, or not illegal drugs, I don't think, but find drugs for medicine.
Sounds like you're really paying attention to this documentary.
Well, that was quite early on in the program, and so much happened after that that okay. I can't quite remember what she was there to make. Because things sort of took a turn when it's possible that he drugged her at one point.
Trev, is there any danger this man with extremely deep pockets can sue us?
Well, I'm just telling you what happens in the program, what she said.
Okay,
so fine. She claims, let's put that in.
Good word, claims, yep. Nice.
She claims that she woke up very heavy-headed and bewildered with him over her and her naked. So there was that weird thing that happened. And then
allegedly,
and then he sort of turned up at where the lab was with a gun, and she decided at that point she needed to get out because I think he was shouting all kinds of things to her. Right, so that was kind of one of the first things. You think, oh, okay, he's obviously a bit paranoid. There's a paranoia going on there,
right?
But the next thing, he sort of gets together his own almost police force. He invests, or he donates, for a better word, to the police force in Belize. There's a police station that was built with no police in it. And he's kind of got this little group of hardened criminals together to be his security. And he puts them all in camouflage, you know, clothing. And they almost run that part of Belize. So he almost becomes like the owner of that part of it.
Is that legal?
Well, it seemed to work for him. Right. And then he gets together a little kind of harem of fairly young women, all who come from sort of very poor backgrounds with all kinds of levels of abuse and stuff. And he sort of takes them in. And then this is the most mouth-dropping, that might be the wrong term to use for this, but the most incredible thing that comes out of this. Because they interview some of these girls, right? And they all start saying, oh no, sexually there was this thing where they'd have to be on this hammock. And there was.
Should I just say, for anyone who might have kids in the car or is listening to this podcast out loud, you may want to. I don't know what's coming up next.
Yeah.
I've just heard the word hammock and I've panicked. You may want
right.
to send the little ones away.
Yeah, this ain't for children, mate. If there's children listening to this podcast, that's wrong to start with. So they talk about this hammock with a hole in it, right?
Oh.
So you're sort of thinking, okay, so he likes to have sex through a hole in a hammock. Okay.
Isn't hammocks full of holes?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, some are, but a hammock could just be some, you know, a sheet.
Okay,
hanging,
I suppose so.
Between. So anyway, these girls, then all, one after another, they've edited it, so it's one after another, all say, I mean, basically he didn't have sex with any of them, but what he did like was...
God.
This is just awful. If you're eating at this point, you might want to just put that down. They like to shit in his mouth.
Right.
So at this point...
Again, let's hurriedly say allegedly.
And so it doesn't end there. So that's just like the weirdest thing. And then he becomes implicated in a murder.
The reason I'm not saying anything is you've managed to stun me into silence.
Yeah, I know.
Which is no good for the podcast.
But this is what this programme does. It's like every step of the way. It's like, not what? What? So he's then implicated in a murder. He falls out with a neighbour who supposedly poisoned his dogs. And then a couple of days later, this neighbour's found in his apartment, having been shot in the head at very close range.
My God.
And there's all this stuff that has McAfee paid someone to do it because he knows all these criminals. And he goes on the run, basically. He goes on the run and eventually goes over the border into, I can't quite remember where he goes into, where he's eventually arrested.
Okay.
I don't think he's sent back to Belize, but he eventually manages to get back to the States. And now he's almost back living a normal life, back on the chat show and news circuit as this cybersecurity expert.
And he had this, back to normal.
Yeah, and he just had this period of time where he just seemed to go, his life just went crazy. And as I say, this is all the documentary says and claims happened. I don't know. I mean, he obviously denies any involvement in any murder or anything like that. But it's just unbelievable. It is one of those jaw-dropping documentaries where every step of the way. And the woman that made the documentary had been emailing him throughout the time, trying to get an interview with him, which he always declined. And right at the end, she goes to meet him at some event. And when she introduces herself and says, "Do you know who I am?" And he goes, "No." And she introduces herself. He just gets up and says, "I don't want to talk to you here," and walks off. And then the next thing, he sends her some fairly threatening type emails, just saying things like, "I will make it my life's work to destroy you. It will be the ultimate thing I ever do," and all this sort of stuff.
She only wanted to interview him?
Just do a little interview with him, yeah. And they've been exchanging emails for about a year or so. And every time, you know, it not always the most friendly of emails, but they were sort of, you know, she would ask every now and again for an interview. He would never say yes to that. And then she met him at this public event and just said, "You know, I'd like to ask you a few questions." And he just said, no, I'm off. Got up and went.
Wow.
It's an amazing documentary. Even if you have listened to all of this, I still, you know, there's so much more I haven't told you. So I think you should watch it anyway. I'd love
to
know.
It's only £3 on YouTube.
Yeah, it was like £3.50 or something. So it's worth paying that for. It's about an hour and a half documentary. And it's just unbelievable.
He certainly sounds like a very interesting man.
Allegedly.
So, Trevor, I was telling you last week about my harrowing experience with a locksmith.
Or with a locksmith, your £400 misadventure.
Yeah. Oh, don't say the number again. It still stings.
Have you been back to the property yet?
I haven't, no.
So you're assuming that it hasn't been burgled?
We did have some friends who live in that area who were popping back or walking past it. So they did go and check and everything still seems to be locked for us. So that's good at least.
For now.
For now. But John in Guildford's been in touch. And he's let me know, because I did ask, I just wanted to double check.
Yes, whether it was a reasonable price.
And here's his message to me. £180 for a door lock. Sorry, mate, you've had your pants removed. For the amount you've paid, I would have travelled to your house, worked an entire day and supplied materials and still made a profit.
Wow.
And for anyone who wants to know the detail of him travelling to my house and back again would have been about an 80-mile round trip.
Wow.
So I was, I suppose, grateful for the,
yeah.
For that. But I then went on to say to him, "Listen, I know it was my fault and it was my naivety that got me into this mess, but," I said, "is there anything you can do when they give you the bill after they've already done the work? Is there anything you can do if you know they're taking the piss?" And he came back to me with a very good piece of advice. He said, "I'm afraid not. You were at the mercy of his morals, which he was clearly lacking in.
Ooh.
Plus, the only trade never to fuck with, the one who has access to your house."
Oh, yeah.
Very good point.
It's true, isn't it? Wow. So it was true, you were swindled.
Absolutely robbed, yeah.
We know that much now. And what I've realised, I've been thinking about it throughout the week, is when we were on the radio and we were talking to tradespeople every day, we were always told it was the electricians who are the richest. You know, there was that joke about the electrician rolling down the bank with a wheelbarrow full of money on Friday, that sort of thing. Turns out it's the locksmiths.
Yep.
Scum of the earth. In the wrong job here, mate.
I know.
I mean, how difficult could it be to put a lock on the door?
Well, he was struggling, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
Shyster.
Not £400 worth. So there we are. That's almost it for another Trev and Ben podcast for episode 50.
Yes.
Ben podcast. I feel we've covered a lot of different areas this week.
Yeah, we have. I think it's been eclectic.
Eclectic is the word for it. I just want to tell you one little thing before we finish today. Well, a couple of little things before we finish today. Just one thing I read this week that I didn't quite know what to do with, right? So a man in Illinois has kept a sandwich that then Vice President Richard Nixon ate half of in 1960. Right. Steve Jen was a teenager then. He grabbed the sandwich, just sort of thinking, well, if no one else is going to take it, I'm going to take it. This is the line that got me, though. Since then, Jen has written a book about the sandwich. How do you write a book about that? What are you writing about that? Listen, what? Everything the sandwich has done since 1960? It's probably sat in a fridge covered in foil. How are you writing a book about that?
I bet you'd like to read that book, though, wouldn't you?
I'm intrigued.
There you go.
I'm intrigued to find out a bit more about this book. That was just incredible. The other thing I wanted to ask you was something left over from last week. You'd written to your MP. Have you heard back?
No. It's been a whole week, and right. My MP, Mims Davies, for Mid Sussex, has chosen to, so far, not yet reply. I don't know if that's because she thinks I'm a nutcase, if she thinks I'm clearly taking the piss, or if she just maybe has a very full workload at the moment. I don't know.
Well, I'm sorry, I think any MP worth their salt, whether you're taking the piss or not, should respond to any correspondence they receive.
I'll give her the benefit of the doubt for now.
Yeah.
If we don't have a conclusion to this by recording podcast time next week, I won't be quite as nice.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing.
By the way, that's not
that.
A threat. In case anyone comes and kicks my door in for threatening my MP, I just meant I'll be a bit shitty about her on a podcast.
You'll be in Guantanamo Bay before you know it. Are you part of QAnon?
No.
Just a couple of recommendations I've got this week. I've just watched this amazing limited episode series on Netflix. If you're into space, which you know I am,
yes,
it's called Challenger, The Final Flight.
Okay.
So obviously it's all about the space shuttle Challenger, which exploded in 1986. But it does go back and look at the history of the shuttle, and it's a fascinating.
Speaking of which, have you got a shuttle going over your house?
Can you hear that?
Something's making an almighty noise.
It's a helicopter going over.
Right.
I thought you might not be able to hear it, but
no, I can hear it loud and clear.
It was fucking loud. I do get a lot of helicopters coming over at the moment. It's certainly an increase in helicopters since lockdown in my area.
Is there?
I don't know what to make of that, but I'm just putting it out there.
Sorry, carry on.
Challenge of the Final Flight. It's just fascinating. As you know, I love space. And if I'm honest, it was the Challenger disaster, because it was such a massive event and probably quite shocking. I would have been nine. And it was a very shocking thing to see. And in a strange kind of way, that got me so interested in space and the shuttle and travelling to space. So the Challenger is quite for me it's part of a personal journey. Are you still there?
I wasn't aware that you were waiting a response to that.
I thought anyway, there we go, throwing it out there.
Very good.
The other recommendation I've watched this week, or rewatched, was Appropriate Adult. Did you watch that? It was on this week. It was really about the woman who became Fred West's Appropriate Adult when he was being interviewed. And I'd seen it when it first was shown several years ago. But it's an amazing, amazing program. Dominic West plays Fred West, and he's just incredible.
Is that because of the name?
I don't know. Well, that would be a weird thing, wouldn't it? We'd just cast anyone. It is Dominic West, isn't it?
I have no idea. You've got
me questioning now whether it's Dominic West. The guy from The Wire. Have you ever seen The Wire?
I've never seen The Wire, I'm afraid.
I'm going to have to... Dominic West. Yeah,
it's not that important.
It's Dominic West, though. But he's okay. So that's on the ITV player, if you want to watch that. So there we go. There's a couple of things to... not the most cheerful of programmes, but you might
want to get as usual.
So anyway, that's it. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. I must just tell you this before we go. Do you remember last week I talked about the jigsaw puzzles I got for my birthday, and one was a mystery one?
Oh, yeah. I
completed that.
What was the picture?
It took me about 4 hours. It was a picture that... you know, there's that thing called FaceApp where you can change how you look, turn yourself into a woman or...
I've seen the pictures. I didn't know it was called FaceApp.
You can age yourself. Well, I'd done this one where I'd aged myself and they'd got that printed and brought into a jigsaw. I look very much like Kenny Rogers. I'm quite distinguished as an old man. So anyway, I'll finish that. So thank you very much for listening and downloading, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.